The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, a very good morning to you.
Boker Tov. Before we get into some of the meaty stuff, just a quick snippet. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett yesterday spoke with the new German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, congratulating him on his new position and also inviting him to visit Israel. Now, I think that this is a very interesting moment in time in terms of the change of leadership in Germany. Angela Merkel was something of an institution, having been there for so many years. Now a new German government, a new regime, a new chancellor, not necessarily considered to be the most friendly towards Israel. And up until now, Israel and Germany have enjoyed a very, very friendly relationship. Lots of economic and diplomatic activities between the two countries, joint cabinet meetings taking place on a fairly regular basis. One of only a very, very few countries in the world that Israel has had such close diplomatic relations with that they've enjoyed joint cabinet meetings together. Naftali Bennett reached out. He did the right thing. He congratulated him and he invited him to Israel. It's going to be very fascinating to see what the relationship between Israel and Germany will be from this point onward, with two new leaders in the seats and, of course, an entirely different situation, given the length of time that the previous leaders were in their positions. It's going to be interesting to watch where this goes.
Yeah, very interesting times for Germany. We reported earlier today that they are going into a slight recession, and we're going to see that recession going into the first quarter of 2022. So they need all the friends in the world. Always a very strong economy, always done exceptionally well in Europe, but of course everybody goes through a slump and we need friends out there. Moving on today to the important stuff, it's been decided that Israelis will need green passes to enter shopping malls starting this Friday. How's it planned to implement this and what's the thinking behind it?
Very controversial decision. Apparently the Prime Minister made this decision and it was made yesterday and it will be implemented on Friday. And apparently the way that things are going to work is that shopping centers are going to need to police every single entrance to the shopping center and will only be entitled to allow people into the mall who can present a green pass. And a green pass is available to people who are fully vaccinated with three vaccinations or who have recently recovered from corona and also have certain vaccinations that they've had. And the green pass is something that's issued by the Ministry of Health and is available online on their website. And so people simply download it. And the idea is that you need to present it at the entrance to the mall. And then apparently you will be issued with a bracelet, something that goes on your wrist, which signals to people in the mall that you are free to move around, having been vetted by the powers that be, who have checked your green pass. Lots of chinks in this particular system. First of all, it's not clear to me how shopping mall managers are going to be able to police each and every entrance, making sure that everybody has the bracelet. But the most fascinating and potentially damaging exception, or potentially helpful, I'm not quite sure how people view it, but there is an exception to that rule, and the exception is that for people who are wanting to go to the shopping center for what's considered to be emergency type activities, so people who want to go, for example, to the pharmacy at the shopping center, apparently they will be allowed in without a bracelet and without presenting their green pass, so long as they only go and undertake essential services, emergency type services, such as I think a supermarket and I think a pharmacy are on the list of essential services. So we could potentially have a situation where you could wander around the shopping center without your bracelet because you are on essential service activity, and you could go to the supermarket and you could go to the pharmacy and perhaps one or two other things. I can't remember if there were other activities that were included. But other than that, you're not allowed to do anything. So it's not clear to me how that will be policed, where you effectively will have a mix of people running around the mall, some with their bracelets on, some without their bracelets on, and people will then have to effectively become policemen to ensure that people without bracelets are not allowed into certain shops, whereas they are allowed into other shops. It's really not clear to me how all of this is going to pan out. It sounds a little bit confused right now, and I'm sure by the time we get to Friday, it'll be a little more confused. It would be safe to say that shopping center managers are not happy at all, because they feel that this imposes upon them quite a significant responsibility, also potentially reduces their business. It sounds to me as if though there is the Association of Shopping Mall Managers in Israel are intending to take this to the court before Friday to appeal against the Prime Minister's decision. We will be watching carefully to see where we land up between now and Friday.
Well, I'm waiting to see on social media all the different arguments that are going to be breaking out in the mall when somebody who's meant to just go to the chemist decides they're going to try wander into a cinema, for example. Moving on, Israel has asked the US to accelerate the delivery of a tanker aircraft. Why is it so important for Israel to ask for the acceleration of this delivery?
So this tanker aircraft has become something of a hot potato, an interesting topic of discussion between Israel and the U.S. And we understand that Benny Gantz, the defense minister who was in the U.S. last week, apparently put in a very special request to accelerate the delivery of this tanker aircraft. This is a tanker aircraft, the KC-46, that will allow in-flight refueling. It's a tanker an aircraft that facilitates in-flight refueling. And of course, all thoughts go towards how important this is for a potential Israeli attack against Iran. Given the distance that Iran is from Israel, obviously there is the possibility to fly to Iran and back again from Israel. That prospect does exist, but certain aircraft, one I understand, will be somewhat limited in the fuel load that they can carry, and they might well not be able to get all the way to Iran and back again in order to carry out whatever activity the IDF feels might be appropriate under the circumstances. And so Israel has put in a special request, first of all, to order this K-46A refueling tanker aircraft. The order itself was delayed and only put in earlier this year, or perhaps even late last year, but I think it was earlier this year. And the delay stemmed from this repeated cycle of elections that Israel went through, during which time a lot of things, including budget votes, budget allocations, were completely frozen. And so during the time that we were going through all of those elections, there was a lot of talk about the machinations of government that had been frozen and that things couldn't move ahead as they should do. There was a lot of talk about political appointments of judges, appointments of diplomats, all of which had been frozen during that time. But none of us had visibility of the fact that things like the order of this aircraft was also frozen, simply because we didn't have a government to decide upon it. We didn't have a budget that had been approved, and as a result of which we couldn't go ahead and make orders of military hardware like this, which are apparently very, very fundamentally important to Israel's security. So Benny Gantz last week apparently requested that the U.S. accelerate the delivery of 2 out of the 4 refueling aircraft that Israel has ordered. The American government has responded saying, no, we won't accelerate that. And the reason we understand is because the decision for the American regime is whether they're going to deliver these tankers to their own army or whether they will deliver it to the Israeli army. And in the context of the downturn in relations between the US and China in particular, it is considered by the US Army to be critically important for the delivery of the first few tankers that come off the production line to go first and foremost to the U.S. Army rather than to the Israeli Army. And so this is the competition that we're facing right now to gain these tankers. There are some people who suggest that these tankers are absolutely crucial for any activity that we wish to undertake against Iran. And the lack of delivery of these tankers therefore means that Iran understands that they have some breathing time, because Israel is really not in a position to be able to carry out whatever attacks it would like to carry out in order to stop the ongoing process of the Iranian nuclear program. And, you know, this potentially gives Iran a little bit of leeway that Israel would really like not to have offered to Iran under the circumstances. And it comes exactly at a time when the head of the of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, has given an interview. He gave this interview to the Associated Press. And some of the things that he said in that interview are pretty concerning. Like, you know, the Iran of 2022 is not the Iran of 2015. He went in to talk about how Iran has constantly not cooperated with the International Atomic Energy Agency in terms of the agreement that was struck between the P5 plus one group of countries and Iran over the nuclear program, that Iran has what he called, he's managed to a cloud, he calls it a very blurred image of what's going on with the Iranian nuclear program. So some of the things that he's had to say are very, very concerning. Is indeed those people who are interested in listening to what he has to say, there are quite a number of different articles in detail that have been written about his interview. I think it's a fascinating interview, also a very concerning one. So this leaves Israel somewhat out in the cold in terms of not having access to the military hardware that it needs, or at least that's what we understand from the reports that I've read in the newspaper.
Anthony, very quickly in our last minute, the Netanyahu family has been advised that their state-funded security and chauffeur services will be withdrawn. What are they actually entitled to as the former prime ministerial family?
So officially, according to the law, former Prime Minister Netanyahu is entitled to security and to chauffeur-driven services, and also to a state-funded office for 20 years after he leaves office. That's he himself. So there's no issue, there's no discussion about what he may personally be entitled to. That also comes with security for his private home. So those matters are not up for discussion. What's up for discussion here is to what extent his wife Sarah and his sons Avner and Yair may still be continued to entitled to security and chauffeur services, which are funded by the state. And according to the law, that is offered to the prime minister's family for a period of 6 months after they leave office, and then that's withdrawn. Now, originally, there was a decision to extend that 6 months to 1 year, given the fact that there were various threats that were identified against these individuals, and it was thought appropriate to extend the security and, by definition, also by extension, the chauffeur services that they enjoy. But there was a meeting that was held by the Shin Bet Committee of the Knesset earlier this week, and it was advised by all the security services, including the Shin Bet and the police and all the other security services, and all of them were in agreement with one another that the Prime Minister's sons and his wife, the former Prime Minister's sons and his wife, are not subject to any particular threats that the security services are aware of, and therefore services will be withdrawn.
Never boring times when it comes to the Netanyahus. Anthony, thank you so much. It's now time for News on the Hour.